It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd
Up! Guilty Wilson here with the Nerd Up Podcast, and doing a show from socially distanced Horror Con, or actually Film Festival, Horror Film Festival, so... And ran into a fellow podcaster, Andrew Morris, and he's got the podcast of whatthenitch.com. There's the website for you. Now, we'll talk more about that in a minute, but he very much intrigued me. Now, Andrew, first of all, how are you doing?
I'm great, man. It's been a blast today. I've got to talk to some really cool people. This is my first con with my podcast because I just started this in March. So, of course, we haven't really had many cons since then. It's been a great day. I'm having a lot of fun. It was very cool meeting you. So I feel like I got some friends that I'm going to have new to the group today. So it's been awesome.
Yeah, you're definitely going to get some more followers from this. And that one of the things that you intrigued me is that you've only been doing this since March.
Right.
And you, okay, here's my excuse for not having every episode every week like we used to have is because of COVID. Your excuse for creating your podcast and doing this is because of COVID. So explain to the listeners how you came about.
This has been something that's kind of been in the back burner for me for a while. I had a friend that worked with in car sales, made some assumptions about the guy when I started working there. And through a series of long conversations on slow days in the car biz, we learned that we're really similar. We're best friends, probably. Me and my buddy sit next to me. I don't want to make him sad. My boy Eric Chavez and my boy Dusty Sutherland. They're two of my best friends on the whole planet. I'm the godfather of his parent, or of his kids, rather. So through that relationship, we said to ourselves, more people need to understand that through conversations like the ones that we had, you can maybe not necessarily change people's minds, but just have a better understanding of people, have a better understanding of humanity. And really find ways to connect with people, especially during all this crazy stuff that's going on in the world right now.
Right, definitely. So, well, with that in mind, explain to people what your podcast does. I thought that was intriguing, by the way.
Yeah. So with the title of What the Niche, my goal is every week to talk to somebody from many different walks of life, the different niches, if you will. Because everybody has something that they probably categorize themselves with, something that they connect with more than they connect with anything else. Mm-hmm. Whether that they consider themselves part of the horror crowd, or they're a metalhead, or maybe they're an actor, film or stage, a director, whatever it may be, every week I want to dive into that thing and help lay to rest some of the misconceptions that people might make about it. Also have them share experiences of inspiration so that people can see that there's commonalities in that as well. So really the end goal with all of this is just to kind of say, hey, we're all a lot more similar than you think. The world doesn't have to be as divided as it probably currently is.
Right. A good point. And that's one of the things, when the first question you asked me is what are some of the misconceptions of the podcaster? And I probably am a horrible guest because I was like, I really couldn't think of much, so any misconceptions other than normal misconception of my life. But, it was really intriguing whenever I talked to you about, you know, each time you're going to interview somebody, you could interview completely different people each time, and it's just not totally none related. And I'm like, well, here I am stuck with nerdy stuff.
Hey, nerd is certainly one of my niches as well, so I do not frown upon that.
Yeah, well, that's how we met at a horror convention or a film festival.
Absolutely.
And, we did nerd out about equipment. We nerded out about podcasting, and... Yeah, I'm interviewed on his, so I had to return the favor. And actually, I was, before he asked me to be on his podcast, I was coming over here to get an interview because I like the idea of what you started here.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I like the idea of being able to show people that we're all the same, yet we're all different. And that's kind of a neat deal. Now, you pulled this out of the necessity of having to do something during COVID. I mean, what was your profession before?
I'm still a teacher.
Okay.
Yeah, so I work at a high school here in Louisville.
Okay.
And I'm in my third year. And I was kind of describing this to you earlier. You know, I went from, on a daily basis, I have 150 students.
Mm-hmm.
And in the building, we have about 100 staff members. So on a given day, I had 200 people in my circle that I could dip out and talk to. You know, and my kids can't walk away when I'm talking to them. I'll just write them up and kick them out of class.
But, as you do.
You're right, yeah. I'd be like, you're going to listen to my story, okay? No, but, you know, I always had an ear. You know, I work in a very tight-knit school. I work in with mostly freshmen, a part of what we call the Freshman Academy. We're all very close. You know, I consider those people my family. And it was difficult going from that to have, you know, 15 unique people that I could talk to on a daily basis about any number of things to not having that at all. You know, and seeing people through Zoom chats and things of that nature is not the same.
Oh, definitely not,
as in-person conversation. And so I was desperately craving that. I'm extremely extroverted. So I found an outlet, and it helped out a lot.
Now, one of the things I got to figure out here, now, you're here at a horror film festival. You got people coming to you, basically, or, you know, I know you're going out recruiting some people, so to speak.
Yeah.
But you got a captivated crowd. How do you get normal guests otherwise on your show?
Luck.
Oh, really?
And that's basically what it's kind of chopped up to. I keep a pretty wide circle of people in my friends group, you know, because of being extroverted, as I talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a lot of phases of my life. I was in a heavy metal band for years.
Sweet.
I did that for 7 years, so I have a lot of friends from that community. I do some stage acting around Louisville. I've done things for a place called Theater Works, New Albany. I did a show at IUS in New Albany as well. I did a show at Oldham County, all within the last 2 years or so. So I made a lot of friends that way, people that I really try to keep tight, close relationships with because they were great. So I get a lot of guests that way. And then, one of my friends, that I met who did my logos, Braxton Gaither, he gave me he calls himself a networking O.
yeah.
And try and get keep it as PG as I can.
you don't have to worry about it.
Right. And he nicknamed himself that. And he's like, I got so many people you can talk to. He's like, this person. So I was lucky. When I say luck, he just dropped these names, famous people. Marco Hudi is probably one of the more famous people. Mm-hmm. He's a comic book artist for Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
That was really cool. Local director Nathan Thomas Milner, he dropped him in my lap. He was like, I knew of him, but I didn't really have contacts with him. So, just a lot of networking through my own ways, through just living and being interested in a lot of different stuff. Teaching, I got to talk to a lot of teachers. Of course, I thought that those episodes were great because I think a lot of people misunderstand education.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that intrigued me. The first question you asked was, what do people misunderstand about you? And it's like, what a brilliant start to any conversation. You know, it's like, tell me something bad. Okay, let's get to the bad, good parts now.
Yeah.
So, name some of the subjects, I guess, for some of the past episodes that you've had.
Oh, man. So my first episode, I hadn't planned this, but with everything going on with the Black Lives Matter movement, I had spoken with several of my friends about being a black man in America.
Okay.
So my very first episode was that. I thought it was very relevant. And it was incredibly thoughtful and poignant. He's a great guy. He's an aspiring director. He's an actor. That's how we met. We met in acting class at IUS. And then I also have a friend that I trained jiu-jitsu with, who was the other Black Man in America conversation I had. So those were two of the earlier episodes. I have local horror director, Nathan. I've had John Wells, who I actually see just showed up at the con. That's funny that I mentioned his name as I see him. It's pretty wild. And of course, he talked about being a film actor.
Mm-hmm.
I had several stage actors that I spoke with. I had a stage director that I spoke with. She's also a theatrical professor at IUS. That was a great conversation. My dentist, I actually had a conversation about his niche.
I guess you really would never run out of subjects.
No, I really haven't. I haven't, even touched the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
So... Yeah, it's been really interesting. I talked to Ken Daniels, who put together this convention. We talked about under the lens and scope of him being an entrepreneur. So that was really fun. I've talked to one of my friends who is a Christian, and I'm an atheist, and we had a really good conversation about that. I had
And you didn't call each other names?
We did not.
Oh, man.
We are really good friends.
Apparently this conversation wasn't on Facebook.
And he's a Republican, and I'm what you would probably consider a pretty liberal person.
Okay.
So we also get along there.
Wow.
Imagine that. And then, so I had him. I had an individual who came on and talked about being an agnostic. And we had a whole really beautiful conversation about philosophy and, you know, views of the world and things of that nature. I had a really heavy conversation with one of my friends who's a member of the LGBTQ community, mm-hmm. and he's also a Pentecostal Christian.
Oh, wow.
So that was a really enlightening conversation how he's able to reconcile those things. I thought that was a really fun conversation. My buddy who's sitting next to me, Eric Chavez, we talked about him being a writer and an artist in general. He's just a very creative personality, so... Mm-hmm. And I provided an outlet for him to share his narrated short stories, which I thought was great. I'm always excited to help my friends. So it's been a wide range of things, and I'm super excited to see what more it can bring to me than niches that I haven't even thought about yet.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and with today's political times, it's like you're going to just keep coming up with more and more reasons to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, Black Lives Matter, that part started it up. I mean, now you can go interview a cop. Now you can go interview Donald Trump. Well, maybe not. But
I mean, I would.
You
I
would?
Really would. I mean, I would.
I'll see what I'm going to talk about hooking that up for you.
Right. Perfect. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and that's what I like. I said whenever I ran and talked to you about what your podcast is, and gosh, he's got so many subjects he can go with, and you can just talk to anybody, you know. And it's a beautiful thing. I like that. And people listen. That's another nice thing. So. Well, all right. So you're once again, it's What the Niche, and Andrew Morris is the host creator of What the Niche. You can find it at whatthenitch.com. Also, What the Niche on Facebook. I'm sorry, yeah, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and What the Niche podcast on Instagram.
Yep, and whatthenitch.net.
Oh, yeah. Watch the niche. Oh, well, see, I've been all wrong.
.com was taken.
Oh, really?
Because I searched for it. And then when I went back a week later, it was gone.
Oh.
So somebody had bought it and was trying to resell it.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't being used yet.
So they sell. Oh, somebody wants it.
That's
yeah,
right.
That sucks.
The dastardly internet.
Yeah. So, but .net, whatthenitch.net. So, yeah, so there's the ways to get a hold of and find out more about the podcast. And you're available in all the typical podcast streams. And,
yep, Spotify, yeah, all those different Apple, everything.
Yeah, and before you had to list every single one. Like, so when I started podcasting, I had to list every one you were on. Now you just say, own all of them.
Yeah.
Because eventually it somehow gets there. So, all right. Well, now, going forward in the future, like I said, there's, and like you said, dude, there's like an unlimited amount of guests and stories and things can be happening. Where do you see yourself going with this?
So I'm looking to create a network. So going beyond this show because it's endless. So I'm looking to do some more specific things. My buddy Eric and I are talking about doing one that's all about narrated stories and things of that nature and possibly calling it What the Story.
Yeah.
I've also, as I mentioned, I have a lot of acting friends and things of that nature. We've talked about doing something called What the Skit, where we do audio skits and things of that nature that we thought would be really fun. We started writing some and pitching some ideas, so that's in the works-ish. I also am a part of a digital acting troupe. We call ourselves the Pandemic Players. So we're looking to do, which reminds me, I'll bring this up to you after we're done.
Okay.
We're doing a series of short stories for Halloween. We're having individuals narrate their favorite short stories, and we're going to be sharing it through our network.
Oh, cool.
And putting it out for audiences just to get in the mood for something spooky at the holidays and give people, again, the actors and performers an outlet.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
They desperately need it.
Yeah, I just recently got cast in a play, and we got 1 month to get it together, but it's one that requires you to wear a mask.
Yeah.
If we didn't have the, you know, if that play did not require us to wear a mask, I don't think it could have been done right now because live theater of any kind is just, you can't do it.
Right, exactly.
It's difficult. And so, yeah, and I like the way that, you know, there's an outlet there digitally.
Mm-hmm.
And, we tried, we got an improv group. We tried doing some Zoom improv. Yeah, it didn't happen. It wasn't very good.
Yeah, it's tough because you got to be quick.
Yep.
With your responding to what people are saying, what people are doing in those situations.
Yeah. So any outlet for anybody in theater or any of that creative professions, are appreciated right now. So yeah. Best, I like that you got plans. What made you want to do this in the first place? I mean, I know it's kind of out of a necessity, something to get out, but there's got to be something deep inside that says, you know, I got something to talk about. What got you to do that?
I've had a unique set of life experiences. I grew up very poor. Not like dirt poor, but pretty poor. You know, we knew what it was to live without power a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
We knew what it was to live without hot water a couple times. You know, we might get, you know, there were some days the cupboards were bare, but my parents would find some way to at least get us one meal a day. I have three brothers and sisters, you know, and my parents did the best they could. You know, there was never a shortage of love. Not to sound too cheesy, but that's
right. That, yeah.
My dad kissed me goodnight every night. My mom kissed me goodnight every night. So that we never lacked from that.
Mm-hmm.
I wore hand-me-down clothes. I spent my entire freshman year wearing one polo and one pair of khakis. And so between that, I went to work factory jobs, and then I made whiskey barrels for 10 years. I worked in sales for 2 years selling cars. And now I've transitioned into teaching, you know, stage acting, and also being in a metal band. So with all those things combined, man, like I've always felt like I had a unique voice, and I try to be as open to, you know, varying lifestyles, varying mm-hmm. interests and things of that nature. And I have a sticker that fondly says, shut the F up and listen.
Yeah.
When I worked in sales, my manager would always say something that seems kind of cliche, maybe kind of silly, but you have two ears and one mouth for a reason. Listen.
Yep.
You know, it applied in sales. Your customer was going to tell you everything you needed to know to sell them a car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the world, when you're dealing with people and you're talking with people, they're going to tell you everything you need to know to meet them where they are, to understand a little bit about them.
True.
You'll just listen.
True. Yeah.
So I tried to do that.
And you know what? That's what makes a perfect interviewer / podcaster. You just, if you can listen to your guests, you know, they've got something to say. They'll say it eventually. Sometimes you got to pull it out of them, but eventually you'll get there. And yeah, just listen. Yeah, great idea. Love that philosophy, because more people should do that. Especially today, but we won't go into that. I've already,
yeah.
I've already complained enough about all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's the world needs it. And I'm so happy to see that this created the need, or the need was there, and the situation created you to jump out and take care and say, hey, I'll take care of people.
Yes.
I'll listen. So, all right. Now, again, what made you come to a horror film fest?
Oh, well, as you can see, branded upon my skin, I have the starts of a horror sleeve. It's still a work in progress.
Yeah, I see Pinhead, there's Poltergeist, and Demons. Okay.
Yeah, Demons. I have Silent Hill up here.
Okay.
And that's Pyramid Head from Silent Hill as well.
Okay.
And I have a series of other things I'm going to get as well. Horror has just been something that I've loved since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It might sound weird to some, but horror means family to me.
Oh, I can relate to that.
Because every Friday night, it was some cheesy, goofy horror film, crappy pizza, or food from KFC, or whatever it was going to be. It's not often that my family got the ability to go out to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to be something, you know, they could feed the family for $20. You know, we might struggle through the week, but we tried to at least once a month make it that special Friday and sit down as a family. My dad worked his butt off. I didn't see him much through the week, so I looked forward to seeing my pops on Friday, sitting down in the living room as a family and watching those films.
Mm.
And horror films were just something that my parents gravitated to, that something that we enjoyed as a family. So we would watch everything, and I mean everything. We used to watch Elvira and all the awful movies she would host.
Right,
and,
wow.
Things like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes and stuff like that. We used to love the Friday the 13th series. That was awesome. That opening sequence is still one of my favorite things ever. It's super creepy. So it means family to me. So it got ingrained into me early. We used to go to haunted houses and things of that nature. My dad would take us on the danger runs or the ghost runs, which is basically like a citywide scavenger hunt to find a haunted house.
Yeah.
Okay. And those things were always a blast. We did it as a family. You know, my uncle had a van. All 8 of us would pile up in his big Toyota van and drive through the city and find these goofy clues and make our way to a haunted house. And it's just been ingrained into me since I was a kid, so it's kind of stuck.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. I mean, that's like, pretty much you almost mirrored my growing up in the fact that that's what. But the thing was, comic books. With my dad brought those to me, and I never could get anybody else in my family interested in horror. So it's like it became my thing. You know,
yeah.
It's like I kept it as mine. So all right, and I just wanted to see why you're at a horror film festival. I keep wanting to call it a convention, but
yeah, it's not really. Yeah. It's,
especially with COVID, there's not much conventioning going on anyway.
Right, exactly. So,
but we're having fun here now. All right, so are you planning on making more appearances at other types of cons and stuff like that?
Yeah, dude. I got this swanky new tablecloth. I got to use it for something.
Right. I mean, it is sweet.
Yeah. So, yeah, I absolutely have had a blast today. Me and you had talked about this. You know, I love the experience of cons and meeting people and, you know, people that I look up to and admire, especially within the horror genre, because there's a lot of people I have loved since I was a kid. So I love meeting those people. The majority of the experiences have been outstanding with my experiences at cons. So I'm hoping that if they continue to do it in a normal way, I'll get to come and spend a day actually enjoying the con.
Yeah.
And maybe spend a day actually interviewing people so that I don't have to miss out on the actual fun of the con.
Yeah, that's the hard thing about being at a con. It's like, I want to have fun too.
Right, exactly. So if I can work it out that way, that would be the best case scenario. But yeah, I would absolutely love to keep giving this a whirl.
Cool. That's a good goal to have.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing that my son and I, we bonded over was the different kinds of comic cons and horror cons and stuff like that. It's like I would drag him to these and now he drags me to them. And it's created a really nice relationship between the two of us. And I love the fact that, you know, we've got something in common. And the horror is amazing. It's strange to have that as a, you know, a common thing. But at the same time, it's like, no, it makes sense.
I mean, so, who's to say it's strange? Yeah. I mean, is what society wants you to do? You got to throw the baseball in the backyard to have a father-son relationship?
Yeah, he wouldn't catch it if I threw it to him anyway. So he goes, yeah, whatever, you're getting that.
Right? Who's to define that? So I love it. Any relationship you can get is important. That's awesome.
All right, so once again, that's whatthenitch.net, and you can catch this podcast. It's really cool subject matter. I'll be on one of the episodes, so you might want to check that out for sure. But Andrew Morris with What the Niche. Hey, thanks for joining me, and thanks a lot for interviewing me earlier, because that was fun.
It was. It was a lot of fun, man.
It's hard. It's rare for me to be on the other end of the mic, and I was like, ooh, this is cool.
So, and folks, all I'm fooling you is two voices.
No. Well, thank you very much. And that ends this episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. And like we like to say at the end in each and every episode, stay nerdy.